Okay, so brief thought on Parsha, because, wow, my brain is fried from that traffic. Okay, but I thought this was a very interesting midrashic take. So I was finishing up Tana Dibelio Zuta last night, because, you know, whatever. What? Well, I've been going through midrash, you know, all the seders to cover all of midrash. So I'm, you know. No, I don't really know what it is. 8th century? I'm not really sure. Anyways, doesn't matter. So the Midrash in the Nispachim of Seder Eliyazuta, yes, like the addendum, the addenda to Seder Eliyazuta, has the following fascinating approach to last week's Parsha and the beginning of this week's Parsha. We can try to analyze what the Midrash is doing, but it is wild. So, Amar Rav Otenu, Ba'og Shayu Yaakov Esav B'mei Iman, when Yaakov and Esav were already in their mother's womb. Amar Yaakov L'Esav. Yaakov said to Esav, Esav achi, shnechem anachnu la'avinu, shnei alamot yesh lefaneinu. We are two brothers and there are two worlds. Ha'olam hazeh ve'olam haba. Ha'olam hazeh yesh bo'achila, shtushtia, maso matan, laset isha lo'olid banim uvano. This world has eating, drinking, business, marriage, having kids. Ava olam haba eino kein. The world to come, no. V'chol amidot alav has none of this. V'im hu ritzoncha, tolat olam hazeh v'anit olam haba. So let's make a deal. I'll take this. You take this world. I'll take the next world. Deal? Deal.
Esav wants the next world?
But no. Esav wants this world. This world. Yaakov is talking. Right? He said, you can take it. You take right. Olamaz. I'll take Olamaba. Uminayin shekachu. So what's the proof text? Shneemar vayomer Yaakov mikra kayom b'chorat chali. Kishem shenu omrim babeten. Right? This is how it reads it. When he said, sell me the Bochor, he means, you know, the deal we already made when we were fetuses? Let's just sign it. You know, we've been talking about this for quite a while. So, Ba'ote Sha'ah Natal, I love this midrash. It's like, wild. Ba'ote Sha'ah Natal Esav V'chelko, Olam Hazev Yaakov Natal Chelko, V'chelko Olam Haba. So now what's the problem? This week's parsha. So now, think midrashically. Right, so now Esav and Yaakov are going to meet again, and what does Yaakov have? He has wealth and wives and children and everything, right? So what happens? Yaakov nashim uvanot vavadim ushvachor ubeimot v'kesef zahav miyadam ha'esav liYaakov. Yaakov achi, lo kacha martli shetitol atah ha'olam abav v'nitol ha'mazeh. What is going on? You said you take Olam Haba, and I would get Olam Hazeh. What is this? What is this Olam Hazeh that you have? What are you using my stuff? It's my Olam. It's not Olam Hazeh. This is just what God gave me. Like, I need something just to get through this world. This is like my allowance from God. And what's the proof text? Just think of how the Midrash is reading this. So Esav raises his eyes. He looked at the women and the children. Who are these? What is this? What did he say? And now this is where the Midrash is picking up. What's the key word? How did the Midrash build this entire theological fascinating approach? One word. Chanan. What's Chanan? Right? That God gave me, but it's related to which word? Chinam. God gave me for free. So he says, he answered him, what are you talking about? Avayomer hayaladim asher chanan elokim ravdecha. It's not mine. God gave me an apportion. It's not mine. I, phenomenal wealth. I told you this world is about wealth and marriage and children. So I have four wives and 13 children, 12 boys, one girl, and phenomenal wealth. It's just what God gave me so I could practically get through. Look, it's not a salary, right? It's just like...
Whoa,
so that's what he says. Whoa, no, that's what he says. So this is, the Midrash builds this all about the word, right, on the word Chanan. Right? So, ba'otasha, sha'a, ha'amid Esav et ha'tov, omar, umah olam hazeh, she'en le'yakov chelek bo, kach natan la'kadosh baruch hu. He says, whoa. This is what's called not having olam hazeh. Right? This, what Yaakov has, is not having olam hazeh. Ha'olam haba shu chelko shel Yaakov. The olam haba, which is his chelek, al'achad kama v'kama. Ba'ota sha'ah. So what did he say? So now what the Midrash doing when he says to him, what does Esav then say? Amar lo Esav Yaakov, Yaakov achiv. Bo v'na'aseh shutafut. When he says, let's travel together, he's not saying, let's travel together. He's saying, you know what? Maybe I misassessed. Let's not divide this world and the next world. Let's take an equal partnership. Aniva ata. Tol ata olamazev olamabachatzi. Vaniya tol gamkin olamazev olamachatzi. We'll each take half of this world and half of the next world. Shneamar. Vayomer Esav atziga na'amcha mena'am asheriti. Va'omer lo Yaakov le'Esav adoni. He says, now it's not going to work. You know why? And now the Midrash is coming back. This is part of its critique of the descendants of Esav. And it says, nah, my children can't handle as it is. All the torture you're going to give them in this world, right? Like, I have no interest in making a partnership with you, right? I understand that you want to back renege on this deal, but I already see in the future you are going to torture my children. So you know what? The deal is done, right? Nothing you can do. One second. Aval kshaya ba Yaakov eretz Yisrael amar within her shayok Yaakov potech laleza petach makom acher. Zeh shamar katuv gam ahavtem gam sanidem gam kenatam kvar avada kneged mi amar shlom mikra zeh lo amar el ken Yaakov amalek shabom meisav, right? But he gave him a different petach, right? He gives him a different chance, and then it goes on, right? But this, but the midrash, right? This is like classic midrash, right? It builds it all around, right? This one word, which is why is Esav like upset that he has things, and Yaakov's response is chanat, right? So instead of saying it's just a question, right? It builds this idea, and this is classic midrash, right? That every little machloket, it's not like a little sichsuch, right? It is
from the fetus,
right? Exactly. That every machloket, right? This is like midrashic way of thinking is typologies, right? It's not like Yaakov is like has good and bad, and Esav good and bad, right? Everything becomes to the extreme. So instead of, right? Well, Yaakov is, you know, mostly good, but he has some problems, and like he's mostly, you know, spiritual, but he also cares about making wealth, and Esav, whatever. It's right. Yaakov must be pure world to come. And this, but I've started at the beginning, right? This is definitional to their existence. And Esav must be evil from birth, right? And therefore, you should expect to see complete divisions of the different mentalities of the world. We don't. You have to come up with the terrors, right? And it's also classic Midrash because it sees everything in history. Right? Of Ma'aseh Avot L'Siman L'Banim. That what's Yaakov's response? Yaakov's response isn't, no, I'm happy with Olam Haba. It's, no, I already see what your children are going to do to my children. Right? Meaning, I don't stand for myself. I stand for the Jewish people. And you stand for Esav and for Amalek, for Edom. Right? And therefore, in order for this deal to work, it can't just be that you renege now. If you do that, you have to change the course of history. If you're not able to change the course of history, well, then no deal, right? And this is very classic Midrash, right? And I just wanted to highlight, right? Because I thought it was such a fascinating Midrash. But it's picking up on this idea of, right, you know, pure dichotomies, right? The Midrash makes everything black and white sometimes. Sometimes the Midrash is the opposite. But certain Midrashim have this tendency to make everything black and white, right? To make it eschatological, make it about the world to come, this world, to make it about nations and not individuals, to make it definitional to people's existence rather about choices, right, they make later in life. Right, and the Midrash sort of takes all those tropes, right, and builds it together and says, yes, Esav realized that, right, he thought that, you know, you couldn't enjoy this world, and what he's seeing is that, yeah, you could really be part of the Olam Haba, now you have to get through it, but this world, like the, you know, the way the Mishnah says, right, that a moment in Olam Haba is not worth all the reward in this world. And therefore, okay, so Yaakov gets like a tiny little bit in this world, but it's really worth nothing. Right, it doesn't diminish from the fact that Olam Haba is Yaakov's and Olam Hazeh is Esav's, right? And it's also making that point, right? That you could be super super wealthy and not really mean anything, right? So I thought it was just a fascinating midrash, which just captures so many of the tropes of the way midrash thinks in terms of black, you know, sometimes in terms of black and white extremes about making little things about Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba and about history rather than individuals. Yes. So I think that is the point of this midrash, right? Now, of course, now it's embedded I cut out the part of the Yaakov and Esav at the beginning. Right, I'll read you just the first line that I cut out. Was Kach Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Asiti Melchama BeParu VaMalek VeSisra VeSan Chayriv VeUnuchanetz VeUnkarim VeNashev Dati Ad She Esen Nekama NiBatmi LaTid BaMalek. That God says I've already taken revenge against Paro, Amalek, Sisra, etc. But until I personally finish the revenge on Amalek, it's meaningless. Right? Meaning the point of this midrash is to highlight the way that God's war against Amalek, which is Edom, which is Esav, is like definitional to history. Right? That's the point of this midrash, right? The midrash, right? That's the framing of the midrash, both at the beginning and at the end. The end is also about Amalek, right? The midrash very much, right, needs to see, right, needs to have like this eternal explanation for why it is that like the Geula is described as the destruction of Amalek, which is the destruction of Edom, which is the destruction of Esav, right? That's a midrash, right? Certain types of, there's a certain type of trope in midrash, right, that it builds everything into this, right, that every little act of the Avot really represents, right, a fundamental path in history, right, and it has to end, right, in order for history to end, God has to finish the fight with Amalek. But in order to do that, it builds this entire theological battle between Yaakov and Esav, which is an all or nothing proposition, which only highlights why the battle between Yaakov, between Israel and Esav, or God and Amalek, is a zero-sum game. Okay, so that was, I saw it last and I'm like, I have to share it. It's such a wild midrash, but it picks up so much on the way that at least certain midrashim think.